Welcome to CC Natters, where we challenge the norms and break free from the walls of religion. Because as Christ cities, we're called to stand out like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
That's so true. And on this podcast, really, it's not about giving anyone answers, but about uncovering the truths already within us about who we are.
Yeah. And together, we'll reflect on spirituality, mm-hmm. the Christian life, mm-hmm. and living in the fullness of God's love with clarity and understanding, even right now.
Yes, well, so really, if you're seeking a space to explore and grow in your faith with openness and curiosity, you are in the right place. My name is Ileola.
And I am Mo.
Yeah,
let's start the conversation. So here we are. We're doing our very first recording. We like to say welcome. Myself and Ileola have been wanting to do this for years now.
Yeah, for years.
You know
where you brought up the idea of having a podcast? I'm like, but really, what we're trying to do is just allow everybody to enjoy the kind of conversations that we have. This is so true.
Yeah. It's interesting that we've had some phases in life and seasons where we both tend to have a gap of time that we're both free around the same time. And we used it wisely. We started thinking about routines. We did working out together, walking, taking long walks together.
I miss those days.
and out of those walks, we used to have the most weird conversations, absurd. We'll bring up a topic and it's a rabbit hole and we keep going. And I just love the way Ileola's mind works. I love it. Like every single time we have a conversation, I come away from there, I feel renewed, I feel refreshed. And that's why I felt like we will need to have this conversation.
I feel like Mo is bigging me up, so don't listen to her. But I definitely agree with the kind of conversations we have, and I'm always kind of reflecting on why do I do what I do? Yeah. You know, what am I trying to get out of this? And if I come into the thing, I'm like, I'm doing it because everybody else does it. I'm always like, I don't think you should do things because everybody else does it. You know,
absolutely.
I don't think so. And really, it's really helped me to just reflect on, you know, my perspective of things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people find that difficult to do, particularly when it comes to like church things.
Yeah, because
can you reflect on God's word? It's yes and amen. You do it or you don't do it. Like, you know, you're like God's word is yes and yes.
Yeah.
If he wants you to do this, you do it. But those days it was very intense. Choir practice and, you know, sometimes we're there till very late. Well, good thing we didn't have children.
Yeah. Those were the early days. We had the time.
Because once children come into the mix,
you don't have time for all that anymore.
You know, you tell yourself that's why God said you should serve the Lord in the days of your youth.
Word. That is a word for somebody today. If you don't have kids yet, serve the Lord.
You know, but really, it's beyond that. It's beyond, you know, what we do and how we do it.
I'll definitely say that you're somebody who goes against the grain with thought process, and you radically assess or analyze your reasoning for doing things. And I think it makes your purpose for doing that thing a lot more driven. It makes you more grounded in what you're doing because you know why you're doing it.
Mm.
And a lot of us don't put that much thought into it. I can honestly say that, you know, for me, being a younger adult and like being in secondary school and that, I was somebody who was quite the people pleaser. It's difficult to say it out loud now, but yeah, it makes it easy for you to do things because you think that that's what people want you to do. And when you're not like that, people tend to think, oh my God, who is this? So it could almost be as if, oh, I'm not sure I'm ready to accept the way you're thinking. And I think that's what I really loved about you. The fact that you're able to know why you're doing it and you're unrepentant. But let me not use that word. Unapologetic about it, because a lot of us go through life apologizing for who we are and why we do what we do because we think that it's necessary to do so.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm always unapologetic, because You know, you always you always question it when you have to face like obstacles or institutions or systems. And really where this podcast really comes in is that's how a lot of us live as Christians.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like we're born into Christian homes, we go to church, you know, I don't know whatever denomination you go to, but whatever it is, it's about going to church, about praying.
Yeah.
It's about reading your Bible. Rituals. You know, it's about your quiet time. You know, the days of quiet time. Do people still do quiet time these days?
No. The Gen Z, the current generation have come to the liberal, graceful lifestyle of walking with God, because now quiet time can be anywhere and anytime. You find them sitting in the park, relaxing. Didn't do it that way.
These days you can have like a cup of tea and then get your Instagram
and get
Instagram read like.
So definitely it's different now. They definitely caught on.
But those days it was about quiet time, it was about this, it was about prayer meeting. It was just a lot going on. We were all in that I think it's like a file of religion. And one of the scriptures that fascinates me is Jesus saying broad is the way. Right? Everyone, and my understanding is everyone is going on it. Right, everyone's going in this way, and that way just leads to death and destruction. I'm not saying the things that people are doing. Jesus said that.
Yeah,
and then he says, for the way, which is the right way, which is the straight way, he said, very few people find it. You know, a lot of people want to tell you very few people walk in it, but the fact that very few people
find it,
it's like a, have I found the truth? Do I know what the truth is? Or am I just getting on with things? You know, sometimes we feel like if we don't do these things, you know, whatever label you put on it, you know, if you're not a righteous Christian, you know, sometimes it's like righteousness, holiness, sanctification, whatever it is. If I'm not doing all these things, then I am not this.
Yeah.
And Christianity then becomes a set of do's and don'ts. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. You see, you meet somebody, you go, are you a good Christian? I said there's a bad
Oh my God, this is so true. Even I have used that term before, where I'm like, I consider myself a good Christian. Like, there should be a bad Christian. Like, if we really, really get onto the basics, a Christian is someone whose life follows the pattern of Christ. How can you be a Christian?
You said pattern of Christ. Did Christ leave your pattern? No, a Christian is someone who is born of God.
This is what we're talking about. This is what we're here for.
I get where that's
coming from. It's the lingua that we're used to.
No, and I also get where that's coming from. The Bible says that they were first called Christians in Antioch because they were like, these people behave like Christ, right? So that means there must be a way Christ behaved, and then these people are behaving like Christ.
Like Christ, right?
Or you were like, these people must have been with Christ.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that was the people. So these are people who were in part of the crew, calling them that, you know. This person is behaving like Christ, you know, that kind of thing. That's where they're from.
The outside looking in.
Yeah, but the people wearing Christians because they were trying to be like Christ.
They just became him because they'd lived with him.
Exactly. They've come into the adoption.
Oh, you better preach.
They've come into the adoption of Christ, and that's why they're Christian. So now it feels like we're trying to pattern our lives after the things that they've written and the things that they've done.
So and all we really need to do.
We're Christians, yeah.
That's you see, I'm not bigging her up, guys. This is so good because we get caught and it's so ingrained in who we are. We grow up following patterns, following how we do things, following a structure, a rule book, if you like. And those things make you talk in a certain way. You even find people terming Christianese. That's why you find me saying a Christian is someone who lives life a pattern of Christ. No, let's get that right now. And I hope you, our listeners, can get where we're coming from with this. Because when you come into Christ, you live in and through Christ. That's when you're a Christian. It's not because you're a crew. It's not a belonging. Yeah. It's not a... it's a belonging.
You know, it's very interesting how we have ambition as Christians to be identified as a Christian. Yeah. You know, like, it's as if the disciples, just think about it, as if the apostles went into Antioch and they're like, Am I one of them? Do I look like one of them? Do I categorize? You're looking in approval of other people to say, oh yeah,
you look like someone who could be part of them.
And I get where that is.
Yeah.
Because you know, it attests to
it's an affirmation.
Yeah, yeah, affirmation of the transformation work that is happening in us. Yeah. But I wonder how it's become such an ambition that we live for that affirmation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sometimes almost outshines the actual what we should really be doing and why we're doing it.
Exactly. And I think it starts with us also leaving to have that affirmation from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, you want God to be pleased with you. So God being pleased with you is other people seeing you doing the things of God.
But and it's ever not pleased with us.
That's exactly what it is. And really, it was because the Bible says, you know, like, we look at the this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Yeah. You're thinking, oh, Jesus did everything to please God. But yeah. Do you know that's not even the meaning of that sentence? It's actually, this is the one in whom I'm well represented. So, yeah. So when you go into the epistles, it actually says the fullness of God dwells in him. Yeah. So God is actually affirming, this is me, you know, before you. That's me revealed. That's exactly what it means. And then because people don't go into their scriptures, because we don't read the scriptures and understand what the scripture means, you go into a church and the service that they can just be, how do you please God? You move away from there, so condemned, trying to aspire to be a better Christian. Like, you can't be a better Christian, right? and then you just go deeper and deeper and deeper into this life
of trying to fit the
of works.
But could it be an impact of, because now over time we've had more translations of the Bible, it becomes more basic English, basic understanding, because those who have gone before, where there was a prototype. And maybe perhaps because it's in old English and it forms a certain, it's very formal, it makes you think that it must be this way. Maybe that was the whole plan to start with. I don't know.
Okay.
To make it so unapproachable, so that people feel like you cannot go beyond the veil. But Jesus came to rip the veil, but maybe the way scripture has been translated over the years has made it a bit easier for you to be able to talk, to see Christ like in your basic life to life, because now we have the Amplified, we have the Good News one, we have the Living Translation, we have all this.
Let's even ask the question.
Yeah.
Like, why is the, and I know people are going to be like, what is this? Why is the Bible the standard of what it's telling you about to live? Anyway, like when Jesus was saying, like, this is my beloved book in whom I'm well pleased, please read it. No,
it says,
and when I leave, I shall send you the book of life, or the book where you shall read. And no,
I've heard it said that the Bible is the manual for living. What's your take on that?
Mm-mm. The Bible, it doesn't have to be my thing. It's what Jesus himself said.
Thank you.
Jesus said, ye search the scriptures, thinking in it, you will find life.
Okay. So life is in the scripture. Life is in the Bible.
No, he said, you search it, thinking in it, you will find it.
So I search it. I read every day. I read my Bible every day. I'm looking into it. I'm digging deep.
Yeah, so you're searching,
and then when I'm digging,
you'll find it.
Oh.
But Jesus then said, I'm not the one who said it. You should read it. Jesus then said, these scriptures are they that testify of me.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, you're thinking in the Bible, by searching it, you will find life.
Yeah.
Jesus said, what the scriptures is doing is testifying of me. Do you know why? Because Jesus is life.
Okay, so
the scriptures is not life. The scriptures doesn't give you life. The scriptures, no,
Sensitive.
This is what gives life.
Yes.
Okay, read it. Read it.
What's the verse?
Just Google it. It's so easy. These days, just good. It says, ye search the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking it. Let me shut up. I'll shut up. Find it. Find it. Jesus said.
Okay. I'm checking.
I mean, convince yourself.
Okay. So John 5:39-44.
Yeah.
It says. Okay, so he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life.
You think.
And these are they which testify of me. Yeah. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Can I pause at this point and say he's talking about this because he was physically present?
Yeah, but are you saying Jesus isn't physically present?
He is not physically present.
He is.
He is present in the spirit. He's not physically present.
Look at this. So this is why I said that a lot of people to break from religion will be so difficult. The reason Jesus is physically present now is because you have become Christ. He says, as I am in this world, so are you. I know, you're trying to think, oh.
Yeah, my brain is going now. My brain is really going.
But as Christ is, so are you. Jesus was born of God. You are born of God.
But he said, I go now so that I can send you the helper.
Yeah.
He said, because I can't be everywhere. So he said he's going to send you the Holy Spirit. Okay, I know the Holy Spirit. No, don't laugh. I know the Holy Spirit makes us like him. But are you saying then that my name is Modern Day Jesus?
I think yes. Jesus will be so happy if you went around saying my name is Modern Day Jesus. Because then...
Are you saying every Christian, every living Christian who is every day putting in their best to walk with Jesus, is Jesus impersonified?
See how you had to coin it. So
no.
They put in their best work or they put in their bad work.
The reason I feel the need to justify that.
Go on.
And for the purpose of our listeners, I am still very much trying to come up with, getting on board with coming away from these rituals and structures. Believe me, I am so deeply rooted and I'm so blessed to have a Bola in my life. Blessed to have an Iliola. But anyway, moving on. The reason I put that caveat in there is because, again, in our present world, I don't know, I just feel like there's that room for people because it's become so fashionable to be a Christian.
I think
we can now define the terms and say, but we know what a Christian really is. And if that person is not doing certain things, they're not a Christian. But then again, that will also give cause for us being judgmental of these people. So how then do we define somebody who is Jesus impersonified without stating clearly that person is, because the Bible says we should work out our salvation. So that person has to be doing some certain kind of working.
Okay.
Do better.
Okay.
In representing Jesus.
Okay. I want to take us back because I feel like there is something religion is presented to us. And it's that God seeks his form of perfection from us in the way we live.
Yeah.
And for us to say
of that thought.
For us to say that we're of God is because we live or strive to be perfect in our presentation in the way that we live.
Yeah.
But I want to take you to the days of Christ. Okay? So let's just go to the days of Christ.
Yeah.
The strive for perfection wasn't something that man aspired because Christ came. Man is always aspired to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's the full essence of the law.
Yeah.
You know, when we are doing the law, because it brings us into the space where we are blameless. And if then we find a blame, you know, performing the rituals and the sacrifices and all of that brings us into a space of being spotless. Mm-hmm. So we kind of want to work out our spotlessness.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to get rid of our spots. But let's go to the days of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The people who had the ideology of what perfection looked like
mm-hmm.
or what God looked like refused Christ because he didn't look like that.
Mm. Yeah.
When they saw him, they were like,
You don't fit the prototype. Like,
you're friends with sinners.
Yeah.
Like, how are you friends with sinners?
Yeah.
You touch the unclean.
Yeah.
How can you touch the unclean? Like, you're a drunkard. They called him a drunkard.
Did they?
Yeah. They called him a wine bibber. That's what they called him. They called him a drunkard. They called him a glutton. In fact, at some point, Jesus had to tell them, see, John the Baptist came. Did he socialize with you people? He was kind of in the
wind.
This guy is weird. Okay, I've come now.
I'm in your midst.
You're missing. I'm doing everything with you guys. Like, what a generation and your people. Like, you play the drums, these people are not dancing. Just go back to the days of Jesus.
Yeah.
If Jesus wasn't trying to present himself in the space of perfection that we see now, because you know what? Perfection is not something you're doing. Perfection is an identity. God is the perfect one. And again, if you look at Jesus, right? He was doing something and people keep saying, oh, you're good master. He said, no, don't patronize me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the good one. God is the good one. Yeah. It's as if this is who God has made us is who we are.
Yeah.
And he wants us to be able to live in the freedom of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we are always like, maybe we're not enough. But then the Bible says that this is how we know he loves us.
Mm.
That while we're sinners, God died for us.
Yeah.
I think some it might be going in mind of somebody now, but we still have to have good works. We still have to have
Because
we still have to have good.
I
understand the place of that.
Yeah.
But that is just a place of society. That's just a place of, you know, how do we make effort to live together? But that's not a God requirement. Because God doesn't require perfection from you.
Mm.
In fact, what he did is he sees.
There's no way you're not going to measure up. I'm going to clothe you.
He's not even measured exactly. He just clothes you with perfection. So when God sees you, even when you see yourself as imperfect, you are perfect.
Yeah.
And I wonder.
Because he sees Jesus.
Yeah. Not because he sees Jesus. He sees you. God sees you. See, that's the thing.
That's another thing. I love this. I really love this. That's another thing that we need to, what's the word? I think that's another thing that we need to, maybe let me use the word disabuse, the use of, or unpack, you know. We believe that we are, Jesus is our righteousness, isn't it? And that the only reason why we've become acceptable to God is because Jesus paid the price. He shed his blood.
Oh, no. See?
Okay.
Okay.
So, because that's my understanding of scripture presently, that, you know, that has given us a new, we become a new image because Jesus took my place and I now come by him, through him, to the Father. And so when the Father sees me, he sees the price that his son has paid. That's my perspective.
Okay, so that's kind of how the church teaches it, and I really don't know why the church teaches it that way.
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe it's just something that maybe it's become Chinese whispers over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and this is how we see it. The thing is, Jesus didn't come so that he can reconcile like us and God in a way like God, you know, sees us as, you know, the way we were, and, you know, Christ had to come so we then become worthy of God. Mm-hmm. No. Man has always had a heart that somehow in that heart, it's blind to who God is, the truth about God.
Why would that have happened? Why would God have...
We'll do that on another podcast.
All right. All right. Okay. We'll bring that later.
What I say is, man has always had a heart that is darkened. It's like a veil. Mm-hmm. The veil stops the heart of man from perceiving the truth about
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just... I'm imagining that Exodus, right?
Yeah.
When the children of Israel, who are totally... like naive to who God is.
Yeah, yeah.
Moses is saying, "Oh, this God is there," and they are kind of experiencing stuff. They're like, "Oh, we don't want this. Like, we don't think we're worthy of this God."
Yeah.
You know, Moses, you just deal with him. So I can. They just stay back
away
because they're like, this God.
It's too good for me. I'm not good enough to be there.
You just go. Oh, there's just something about him. I don't want to die. Sometimes I think that's what it is. It's like, oh, this your God who killed all the Jews, you know, like all the people of Egypt died and all of that. Oh no, Moses.
Did God kill? Does God kill?
No, God doesn't kill. We'll come to that in another time. I love it. But I'm just saying, like, that's the mind of him.
Yeah, him.
It's like, it doesn't have the true perception
of
God. And so what God did was enable us to be able to see who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an enablement to see him. We were dead. We were veiled to the seeing.
So,
and he enabled us to see. Guess how?
How? Yeah, that's what I want to ask.
That's Jesus. That's why Jesus came. So Jesus came to reveal to us the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said it very, you know, I wouldn't like quote scriptures, but go to John. No, I'm just telling you what he said.
Yeah.
He said that no one is seeing the Father except the Son.
Yeah.
And the Son came to reveal the Father to everyone.
Yeah.
That's what he came to do.
Yeah.
So Jesus came to reveal the Father. Interestingly, for you to be able to see the Father, that veil needs to be torn. And the way to tear that veil, the way to have that veil torn, is for you to come into the fullness of God by his Spirit.
Okay.
No, you're not defining God by flesh, because everything else you were doing, you were defining him by flesh. You were defining in your mind.
Which is limited.
You were trying to work him out. Jesus had to come so that you can be born of the Spirit.
Okay.
But when he's saying being born again, that's exactly what it was. He was talking about the work he was going to do so that you are born of the Spirit.
That's right.
Right? So that's exactly why Christ came. So when Christ died, very interesting, when Christ died, something amazing happened. If you kind of read that scripture, it says the veil was torn. While it was a literal thing, it was also a real thing.
Yeah, spiritual. Yeah.
The veil was torn. Why was the veil? So that his Spirit can be poured out. You know, so that his Spirit can be poured out. So when you kind of look at Peter, when he was saying, he says, oh, this is the prophecy. When the Holy Spirit came, he says, this is the prophecy you've had in Joel. Like, in the end days, I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Because, so some people thought the veil tore so that we can all enter it.
That's what we're talking
about. You know, I'm also a worshiper. Like,
yeah.
Come in to the presence. Actually, what he did was he poured out his Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and he poured out his Spirit onto all.
Mm-hmm.
We're all coming into what that means, because you know we're all
different in the ages.
Knowledge of God.
Yeah,
and the more we know God, the better we get in
understanding
of what he's doing. So when Jesus came, he made us able to see God,
mm-hmm.
and the way we see him is we see him by the Spirit.
Yeah.
So now that you have the Spirit of God on your inside and God has poured out his Spirit, it is possible for you to know God in truth.
Okay.
Not to fail.
Yeah.
You know God in truth.
So we know God in truth.
Yeah.
We have an access.
Yeah.
Yeah. An untainted access now. Because before that was, it became limited because of our state of mind and our
you could see.
But God can behold no sin.
Okay.
So how does God see? You know, because what started this conversation? I said that I believe that when God looks at us, it sees perfection because it sees himself, because it sees Jesus.
Mm.
Now
that's changed the conversation a little bit, because you said when God looks at us, he looks at us through Christ.
So that's what.
So, and I'm saying God doesn't look at you through Christ. In fact, when God sees you, he sees himself. So he's not seeing, he sees you mortally as himself. He's not seeing, trying to put Jesus over you so that, because he cannot behold you.
But this is going to be deep.
No, God,
we're going deep now. But God and Jesus are the same.
And God, Jesus, you are not one. That's what Jesus said. Yeah. I think it's so easy for us. It's so easy for us to go, God, Jesus, me, you know? But actually, now we are all one with God.
Yeah.
Yes.
But in our current format, in our current existence, as we are, God cannot behold sin.
Yeah. So what is sin?
So when... Oh, no. Another day.
I think there's some things that we have in our lingo, and somehow those things have become limiting to our perception of the relationship we have with God and what God has come to do. And no doubt, that's why we're doing it.
Love it.
So that people can hear us argue and
banter.
And you know, banter. I mean, we have grandfathers of faith, fathers of faith, you know, sons of faith.
That's going to be interesting.
Oh, mama, what if you are, you know,
that's going to be interesting when it comes to that.
Whatever level you are in, yeah. Like, that's why we're having this podcast.
Absolutely.
Because absolutely. I think there's somewhere ingrained in us at these fundamentals. They're just there without our permission.
And they hinder us. Because even I have those arguments I have this conflict inside of me, but I know. And that's why when I listen to some teachings or I read some part of the Bible, I'm like, wow, but why does this feel different to what I know? And then you have to unlearn them, all these things that you've known all this time. And it's difficult for you to unlearn them because you still feel unworthy.
I like that thing you said about learning and unlearning.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think about it that way. I'm like, am I learning and I'm learning? And there was a time I was thinking that, is this so much so about unlearning? Or it's like a, you know, if you have a knot, like you have okay. a, let's see.
Yeah. yeah.
If you have a string. And yeah. It's all knotted up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're untying.
Take out each one.
You're taking out each one. That's kind of like what is happening in our life. So it's not really like we're unlearning what we
we're making it make sense.
We're becoming straight, like we're taking out the knots so that we can live free, you know. Yeah. That's exactly what is happening.
This really does translate, because when we go through different phases in our lives, and that's why people tend to talk about understanding God in different phases, you get to see God in a different picture when you go through a different kind of trial, you know. And this translates in the sense that when you're going through certain things and you feel like you're so far and you're so disconnected, that's when you start to realize that you want to be in God, you have to be in God to get through this thing. You have to come into that place of divine to get through. Because otherwise, you just can't get through. You feel limited. You feel handicapped and paralyzed without going through the person of the Holy Spirit, without becoming divine. And then you start to think, how can I become divine with all this other baggage I'm carrying with me? Am I even sure I'm doing this right? Am I making excuses so that I can feel like I'm okay to get this thing? Am I okay to get through this thing?
Mm.
You know,
I get what you mean, Mo. And I think, like I said, there are a lot of things about us that are, you know, even the fact that we think that we have to come into God.
Yeah.
We don't come into God. God came to us.
Yeah.
He's always there. Yeah. He's never left us.
Yeah.
We are, our awareness of Him, sometimes that's what's going like a pendulum.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you feel, and you know, somebody who's so churchy, you go, I feel the presence of God is here. You know, sometimes you feel like you live in the
field. I still use that term.
you know, or you go to church, you're like, oh, come Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit was, you know, like, he was gone somewhere before. Yeah, like, he's not in the people. Like, you know, we have this amazing link.
But there's a setting where it's okay, isn't it? No. There's a setting where it's acceptable.
I'm not here to say one is right or wrong.
I'm
just trying to say that we have these lingos that if we actually really
read into them,
reflect on what we are saying, we will know that these are not the basis of our belief.
Yeah. And these do not actively or accurately portray.
It's like as a Christian, you live in cognitive dissonance. You say something, but you are living something.
Yeah.
You say something, but how you interpret it in your everyday life is different. You're like, oh, Father, I want you to be with me as I go into today. He's not with you. You know, religion is birthed to places where we say these things, and because these things come from our heart, it's kind of how we live our lives. You know, without any permission, we live in religion.
So is it a construct? Is it a social construct? Is it a family construct? I'm talking about religion now. And I want to be careful with this, because I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to term what we grew up knowing as walking with God and just term it religion and to bin it. That's not what I'm trying
no,
to say.
No, you don't throw but away the baby no, with the what.
No, that's
you
it.
Don't
no, so I'm just saying, is it a social, just so that we can also guard against passing this on? So is it a family construct? Is this a societal construct that we have this understanding that we are not enough, we're not, we can't come like that. There's certain people, you know, because these are little things that are dotted about the place that influences how we walk with God, we know God, how we interact with God, and in effect, how we interact with our co-humans. I'm just going to use human. I don't want to go co-Christians or whatever. How we interact with our world, because we feel that we are seen a certain way or we act a certain way. So sometimes we're not accepting of certain things. Sometimes we become the judge and juror where we have no business doing those things. So it does have an impact. So how do we guard against this being something that we find we disabuse ourselves, we unknot ourselves? How do we make sure that we don't pass knots on?
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? This, all this work is not us. It's God himself.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit. You know, when I said the knot gets, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us.
Yeah.
It helps us. And the passing it on is the Holy Spirit that does it too.
Right.
You know, like when you were saying that, is it a construct? Is it, I think it's not so much so about what it is.
Okay.
You know, it's about being, it's a call to wake up to what God is doing.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? Like it's that. It's a call to wake up to who God is.
Yeah.
It's whether social, whatever construct. We can leave them. It doesn't matter. It can be that.
Yeah.
Okay. It can be anything.
Yeah.
But it's about knowing what God is doing. Who God is.
Okay.
And when we know who God is and we are able to come into the knowledge of, you know, like everything he does is who he is, right?
And the pruning naturally takes place.
Exactly. And, you know, you're confident in who he is to pass that to your children.
Because these things fall away from you anyway.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you are confident that your children will know.
Yeah.
Because, not because.
Now
not,
that you know.
Because of who God is.
Yeah.
You know, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's.
I get it.
You get it. So yeah. It's about who he is. Yeah. It's a call to be awakened to who he is.
Yeah.
I think we can start to look at wrapping up because I feel like there's.
We're loving it too much.
There's a lot to unpack. There really is a lot to unpack. And we have other conversations, but just bringing it home.
Yeah.
You know, I think people need to reflect on who am I? What do I believe?
Yeah.
Am I caught up in, you know, the rituals? Am I, you know, like, do I say something, but actually when I express this, I am something else. For instance, like we said, you know, when you go to church, you're like, oh, you know, Holy Spirit, you come over here, you know, like he's going away. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Oh, you go, oh, we've come to the presence of the Lord. Like the presence came into church. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Because we understand, oh, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I'm there, and actually God is in this conversation we're having now, you know. But we, you know, you go, oh yeah, I feel the presence of God more. It's all these things
that, you know,
I'm not saying that they're not,
there is a place for them.
I'm not saying there's no place for them, because, you know, everybody too is all, you know, but I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, do we reflect enough on the truth about who, what we say we believe?
I think it's an invitation. Yeah, I definitely agree with you in the sense that it's an invitation to actually do some reflecting on why we do what we do. Why do we say what we say, our Christianese, quote unquote? Why do we use those terms? Why? What influences, what directs those actions and those statements? And like, for instance, I mean, if there's anything I'm taking away from this today as we wrap up, is that the veil was torn for an outpouring of the Spirit. And the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit is like God making himself naked to us.
Yeah.
And we come into that nakedness. When we come into that nakedness, we ourselves, we become known. And so when I'm now known, and I know, then my world, my society, my community is influenced, because that's when my light starts to shine. Mm. Because I am known and I know.
Yeah.
So I love that. We're able to establish that one thing, that, you know, the tearing of the veil was an outpouring of the spirit.
Yeah.
To just, you know, come as you are, and just beautiful to look at it that way.
That's the thing, right? I like that you said is an outcome of the sense, you can come as you are. Again, most of the things that are in the Bible, right?
Mm.
The people had a context. So when those contexts play, that's the lingua for the context, right?
There's a certain...
I think the way it is the point of spirit is that God came to us just as we are.
Yeah. In our current context, he came
to us as we are. So when you say come as you are, it's beautiful, but actually it's a call to an awareness that God came to you as you are.
You didn't have to make any amends.
Saying, imagine you're paralyzed, you can't move. He didn't have to say, let me give you legs so you can come.
He came
to us.
Yeah.
And I think that this is the fundamental of it.
Yeah.
It should sit in the very foundation of it.
Yeah.
So that we can break free from everything that says there's an expectation. Yeah. There is a, and but to actually see the beauty
of perfect, unadulterated
love of God.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, because I think that's what helps us to break free from everything else that wants to define us outside of God.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
You know.
We're not going to stop. Oh, well, you know, we're going to wrap it up here. Yeah. And we hope that you've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We hope that it's been insightful. Mm-hmm. We hope that it's made you think and, you know, lost your thoughts in a certain way and look at things. And we hope, very definitely hope, that it's been engaging. We'd like to hear from you,
mm-hmm.
How you found this. We really love to have every one of you on here.
Yeah.
And
there's a way they can be, you know, just, you know, comment, send us an email.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Share your thoughts and maybe we will read it to other people.
Oh yeah,
you
know, definitely.
If there's something I said that is, you find absolutely annoying, just saying.
Yeah.
That's very offensive.
I want to hear. We want to hear. Yeah. And if there's something that sounds remotely naive about what I'm saying, come on. Yeah, let's hear it. Let's start the conversation.
It's a community of Christ people, is it? Like, you know, we want to learn from each other's graces, right? We want to learn from each other's graces. And the subject we're learning is Christ. Isn't it? So that's exactly what it is. So please, listen to our next podcast. You know, share this with a friend if you.
Yes, please. Yeah, let's get it out there.
We can start to get the community going. Maybe one day we will all sit in a room and then.
That's our vision. You know, it's going to be so beautiful to have everyone in one room, talking about, you know, just enjoying. Talking about God,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, these things that make us just completely beat for God.
Let me tell you the thing. The reason you see that vision is because that's God's vision. Yeah. The whole world, it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Yeah. No, let's stop.
Okay. See you next week. Thank you for listening.